funny enough, my podcast is called Women in B2B Marketing. Every day I get a man or a representative for a man asking to be on my show. Like, you obviously didn't even read the title right of the show.
Welcome to B2B Healthy Copy Talks, the podcast that blends together marketing strategy, copywriting, and messaging tactics for the B2B fitness, health, and wellness industries. As a former personal trainer, award-winning writer for major health and fitness magazines, and an online fitness course creator, I know firsthand the challenges of marketing within these industries. So whether you're a seasoned copywriter, a savvy marketer, or an industry expert, you'll find valuable insights in every episode. From B2B SaaS providers and marketing experts to fitness entrepreneurs, I'll bring you interviews and discussions that spark creativity, drive growth, and jack up your professional game. We'll explore the specific challenges within the B2B world, how to stand out among the competition, and increase conversions in every area. Let's dive in. My guest today is Jane Serra. Jane has more than 17 years of experience leading marketing teams across demand generation, branding, and product marketing. She's passionate about building high-performing, loyal, and collaborative marketing teams from the ground up. Right now, she's focused on building out her show and her community. Women in B2B Marketing is the name of her podcast, which I have been on. And she says, as a fun fact, she has been in a music video, which we need to hear more about, of course. And at one point, she said she had 13 cats. So let's find out about that. But today, we're going to dive into, what does it mean to be a creator? How has content changed in the last few years? And since she's so passionate about podcasting, we're going to get into that a bit too, and why we need to get more women on mics and stages. So let's get into it. All right, Jane, welcome to my show. I'm so excited to have you here because I was on your show, and I appreciate you taking the time. I know how busy you are.
Yeah, thanks, Linda. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to chat all things content and wherever it takes us.
I know. And I wanted to ask you, what do you prefer, being a guest on a show or hosting your show? Do you have a preference?
So, great question. I've been thinking a lot about this because I've started guesting more on shows. So I love hosting. That's just, it gives me life. It lights me up, and just meeting people, as I'm sure you feel too. Mm-hmm. Guesting is definitely something I'm getting more comfortable with and getting on mics and talking about myself more, but I'm much more, let's talk about you. So that's definitely my preferred, but I'm working on this part. So thank you for letting me test it out with you.
Yeah, because I'm sort of divided myself. I think I don't like spontaneous questions a lot of times that are, I was asked some weird stuff that I'm like, I don't know how to answer that. And then I get like, you know, I know copywriting, but I don't know like what, you know, the future music I'm going to listen to or something is, which is what I was asked. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. But that's hard.
I know, I'm not good with impromptu stuff. So it's good to, you know, when you're the one that's hosting. But I wanted to start with you questions about content. Now, content has changed so much in the last few years, and I wanted to get your take on how you feel it's changed and how it has influenced your approach with your content.
Yeah, it's so interesting because, so I'll take this from two angles, because heading marketing, there's content for the brand, right? So we can talk about that. And then also there's the personal content and personal brand. So I'll go with the latter first. And recently, I was brought into something called the Creator House, which is by Sweetfish Media. They produce a ton of shows and content for brand clients. And they brought they're flying people down to Orlando for this Creator House. And it was an amazing experience. Everyone should check it out. It's just amazing what they create there. But when I was first asked to join, I was like, am I a creator? What is a creator? Like, what do I create? And then I'm like, my show, I create my show, same as you. I mean, you're a creator in many ways, Linda, but so I create my show and that is content. So in a way, I'm a creator, but it's a weird thing to grapple with yourself, think of yourself that way. So creating, and I feel like content has become synonymous with this creator world lately, at least in the B2B space. So it's really interesting and the personal side of things and with my show. And then on the branded side, Very similarly, it's just it. Content used to be 20 years ago when I started out. It was, I mean, back then it was brochures, right, and a printout content. And then internet came around, and everybody had to have a website. And content was blog posts and writing copy on your site, and that was really what it is. And of course, more recently, blog content SEO. That was really the focus of content, was written content on your site to drive traffic to your site. That was for 5-10 years, solid what content was. And now the past few years, it's just evolved into a very video first format as a next phase. So everything kind of starts with video. You can strip out the audio, make a podcast, and have sound bites, have clips for social, turn it into a playbook, turn it into this. Everything's about repurposing and distribution, but then there's the next layer beyond that, is that the content itself in video format has become much more focused on entertainment. So even in the B2B space, it's following much more the B2C trend and just entertaining and realizing it's people that we're marketing to. So how can we attract them, get them to love our brand, this brand love and loyalty, because we entertain them and we bring them value and show them, like teach them the edutainment, right?
Yeah.
And that's just become, it's almost, there's this weird pressure as a marketer. I wonder if you feel this too, to be funny.
Yeah.
So like to create content and be, and I'm not naturally, I mean, I have my snide remarks and I'm sarcastic, but I'm not a comedian. I can't do stand up and these kitschy things that people are doing that are awesome. I can't fake that. So it's interesting trying to find your place in the world of content nowadays.
Yeah. And it's funny that you bring up, ironically, it's funny that you bring up humor, because that's something like when I'm with my friends, I'm that funny friend that people call when they need a laugh, you know, and I have a good sense of humor, but I find that when I get on like a video call like this, even I kind of stifle it. And it's like, why, you know, is that something I should be doing? But will people think I'm silly? And you know what? And just to kind of segue into this whole thing about women being funny. Like I was talking to somebody, I forget who, it was a couple people that on my show talking about humor. And both of them, two I'm thinking about, said that it's more difficult for a woman, because a lot of people, for one thing, women aren't funny. And there's a lot of really funny female comedians.
That's great comedian. Yeah.
Yeah. Kathleen Madigan, I'm thinking, she's hilarious. But it's funny in that it's just different for men and women with the sense of humor. Men can be funny, and women, it's like, why are you being so silly? You know, it's interpreted differently. Do you feel like that too?
It is, because, you're right. When I think about it, I think of creators in my space, the ones who are like really blowing up, most of them are men, and they're doing like sketch comedy acts and doing just funny things. And they have just something that they've associated with themselves and came up with, but they're all men that I can think of. This is very subjective and just what I'm thinking of right now. The women who have blown up in the creator space are doing more thoughtful content and less kitschy, I guess, like not as much humor to it. I never even thought about that, ironically, because I typically focus on the women's side of things. But yeah, the humor, that's interesting. I have not realized that, and you're right.
Yeah. And it's even on, like, I'm on TikTok. I don't post anything, but I am a big fan of, like, I follow comedians, and there's a woman on there who's absolutely hilarious. She does these skits and she's, I don't even know what she's selling, but like she does this one where your point of view is you are the person in the dentist chair. And so she's looking at you and she's putting on one goggle after another. You know how they'd always put on like one pair of glasses. And so she's putting on like five pairs of glasses, and she's, you know, saying, she's using ridiculous things like to pry open your mouth. Like, okay, if you just open wide, and she'll take like, I don't know, a plunger or something and pretend to like put it near your face. It's so funny. Not like millions of followers. And she's one of the few people, you know, that she's not afraid to get out there and just really, and every one of her skits is about like a doctor and how ridiculous some of the things that they say, like, you know, jumping down a stairs. And she's really good. But I just find, even with, you know, like you said, on LinkedIn, I try to be funny with carousels or with comments. But when it comes to providing information, I think I'm afraid of not being taken seriously if I don't hone down on my special.
I think you just nailed it. That's probably like women always have to grapple with being taken seriously, right? So if we pull out the comedy card and do sketch comedy and physical comedy on LinkedIn, I wonder if it'll take us back a few years. Is the fear we have? It probably wouldn't because it was trending right now. But that's probably the mental block that we're not even aware of.
And I wonder if it's something that people would consciously think or like it's almost something that would be good for a poll on LinkedIn. You know, but would somebody be aware of taking women less seriously if they're funny or they just don't, you know, they're not self-aware of
conscious. I also wonder, I think it's in our own heads. I bet if we created content, if we were good at this, you should try it, Linda. I know I would not be good at sketch comedy, but if we created a show and put it out there, if it was genuinely good, I think people would like it regardless of us being women, but we are less likely to put ourselves out there and create it because that's in our head. I really think that's a mental block you just nailed. But now I really want you to create a comedy show on LinkedIn. Can you do it? I feel like there's something here with all of the jargon and the copy that you see. Like you must have a log of all of these things that you can just turn into comedy gold.
Yeah, it's pretty, I'm good at like observational comedy. Like I'm always thinking because I'm always at the gym and there's things I wanted to post even on LinkedIn. Like why is there always some guy doing some weird martial arts in the corner of the gym? Every gym I go into, like there's some like nameless guy and he's always doing something and I don't know what he's doing. And there's always a guy named Bill who's like the friendly guy. I don't know why. It's like every gym, there's always that Bill.
Yeah.
And there's like things like that I observe. And how do I weave that into a B2B thing? You know, that's
but they can relate it to, I bet there's a way to tie that to the different characters in B2B too. Cause there's the bro marketer that's very bro. I just came from a bunch of events. So I have all these characters in my head that we encountered. But there's totally people that, the bro marketer would be the guy who drops the weights really loud and grunts at the gym every time. That would be him.
And yells. Yeah. There is a guy, he's on Instagram, Joey Swole, I think is the handle.
I follow him.
You follow him?
I think I do. I know the name.
It's not, obviously not his real name, but he is an advocate for people not filming at the gym or not, like he's really good. And so he sits in his car after his workout and he starts, you know, talking about, or he'll comment on a video where someone was recording themselves working out. Somebody walked in front of the camera and he actually showed one this morning I was watching where the guy that was recording himself actually put his hands on the guy that walked in front of the camera. And this guy, Joey's like, you never touch a person. Like he's like, dude, get out of here. You're in my camera. You're there to work out, you know?
We can do an entire series on the gym characters alone. There's just to tie this together. There's a guy at my gym in my building in Miami where he always records himself. He's on a video call. I don't even know. He's not recording himself, actually. He's on a video call. Maybe it's a trainer, but he leaves his phone in the corner of the room and he's barely in front of it himself. And so once I went to the machine where you're basically your legs are wide open and you're closing them to, he had his camera facing that machine and it was my turn to use the machine. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to let you have a video call and I'm opening and closing my legs facing this camera. So I put his phone down and I had to have a conversation with him. Like, that's not cool. These people, I don't know why you always have to be in a video call.
A lot of gyms now are, they're banning them. They're banning cameras. Yeah. Like at my gym, you can't get on a call. That's so weird.
Good.
Yeah, that's not cool at all.
No.
And then just, you know, we're talking about podcasting too. So kind of awkwardly segueing into that topic. Because here's I was thinking, I had read recently, and actually it was a little while ago, so maybe it's an outdated statistic, that only 25% of podcast guests are women. And I could not find that stat recently. So I saw this like last year. And when I saw that statistic is when I looked through my own guest, you know, my guest list. And it was true for me too. And I was like kind of embarrassed. I'm like, wow. But I think, do you find that too? I mean, your podcast, you feature women exclusively, right? Is that why you started doing that?
Funny, it's 100% why, and I'll get into that. But funny enough, my podcast is called Women in B2B Marketing. Every day I get a man or a representative for a man asking to be on my show. Like, you obviously didn't even read the title of the show, but it's okay. But yeah, I created the show for that reason. Because I mean, this is subjective. It's really hard to find a ton of clear data on podcasting still. I need to keep checking for this year. But when I first started, I realized I work mostly with women. And the stats there are clear. The marketing teams typically, I think it's around 65% trend women. So there's more women in marketing overall.
Really?
And my feed, my podcast feed, I listen every day. I start my day listening to a podcast. And my feed for marketing was all men interviewing mostly men. So I felt that very strongly myself. And I just got pissed off when I realized that one day, that it makes no sense that we're more women in marketing, but fewer women on mics and podcasts. And then we also see that in events, right? On stages, there's fewer women on stages in general. Mm-hmm. And it's the first step is everybody realizing, right? So it's great you recognize that. When you're not actively aware of that and actively trying to change it, you're still stuck in that. So finding out that you are and then changing, it's you have to be active in identifying who's on your show and who you want to be more on your show. And in an event too, it's the same. It just takes a little more like extra effort for everybody planning, but it's important. Mm-hmm.
And I think in my case, it sounds like this is what you've run into, is more men will pitch themselves 100%. To a podcast.
Yes.
And I get that all the time. I will seek out women and I'm trying to get to be a guest on more podcasts.
Good.
And I find that it's, I don't handle rejection very well. So I have to make sure it's really a fit. And I haven't really pitched myself to many. Like, I've had people come to me and I'll just, you know, cause I want to get on podcasts. So I will say yes to pretty much anything, even if it's kind of vaguely related, because I can use the clips, like you were saying, repurpose them.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you think it's that? Like, what would be the reasons? Just that one, it would be men pitch themselves more.
Yeah. I think you're nailing it again. It's that my hypothesis is that it's very, very similar to the stat that more men will apply to jobs that they're 70% qualified for. And I think that I'm even giving an extra few points there. Whereas women will only apply to jobs typically that we 100% qualified for. And I think it's the same for podcasts and even applying to speak at an event, is that there's that fear of rejection, imposter syndrome, and also just this, am I ready enough? Am I prepared enough? I have to be 100% ready on this topic and I can't mess it up.
Right.
So that's exactly, like, I created my show to create a safe space. I try to be pretty welcoming and keep it a casual conversation. You could full edit rights. So make it really comfortable for people to come on my show. There's really no blocker there.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can just get more women out there and practicing, right? And getting comfortable being on mic so that they can keep doing it and their name is out there and they can use this for clips to share for future events and speaking up. So I think it's definitely just our fear in a few different ways.
Yeah, I think it even relates to the whole humor thing. Men don't care if they're taken seriously. They really don't. I don't think. I don't know. And
yeah,
it's something that it needs to change. But you know, I don't want to be like this. You know, I don't like stirring the pot a lot. I'm just not that kind of, like, I'm such an introvert. But I do want to make changes. So I guess this is the way that we can do it, is having more women, you know, on the podcast. Right. You exclusively.
You know, there's even like crazy, there's deeper layers even past that, right? So what I found on my show, it's all women. So that part's good. But deeper than that, so once the women that do raise their hands to come on my show that approach me, 90% white women, which, you know, love to have them on too. But like, there's layers of diversity underneath that make it even harder and harder. So if we get to anybody non-white woman, that's applying, it's very, very difficult. Like, I go out and actively seek all kinds of diverse people to come on my show, but it's definitely a lot more effort, but it's worth it. So you have to go out there and really search for really good people and make sure you have diversity on all ends and all sides, right? So it's like,
yeah, and that's true. And I probably don't have enough. I just, so many people pitch me that I don't really seek out guests. You know, I'm kind of, but lately I have been because I'm really intent on honing in on kind of the challenges within like the health and fitness sort of, you know, area, because it's where, it's where I am. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that? Like with marketing, have you done marketing for any kind of wellness or health companies or B2B?
I'm trying to think. No, it's always been B2B. Not, I haven't been in the health side, but I, HR is the closest. There are some wellness components to the HR tech world, right? So, but no, not direct wellness and health. But I would imagine that probably, I'm curious, does that skew male as well?
I don't know. I was going to say, I was surprised when you said that marketing tends to be more women oriented, because I thought it was the opposite. Do you think it's, what do you think it is?
You know why you think that? Because you see men everywhere, because they're the ones talking. It's, it's crazy.
Yeah. What else can we do, you know, as marketers to kind of balance all of this out with diversity? And so with podcasts, obviously, you know, getting more guests on that are diverse backgrounds and there.
I think, I mean, there's so many layers to this, right? It's what brands can do and what we can do as owning shows is just put in more time and effort in finding it. It's a lot of work, but like finding more diverse guests to have on the show. And then it's also, I mean, I think there's a ripple effect there. But the another thing, I was talking to somebody who put on an event recently, I won't name it, but I realized that it was all men. If you search my LinkedIn, I definitely commented in public about this, but it was all men on stage at this event. And I asked them, the woman who ran the show, one of the people who ran the show I'm friends with. So I asked him, like, hey, can I help you get women speakers for this next time? And she told me she had a ton of women and like X percent, like 60, 70% of the women backed out last minute. And I'm hearing that she's the second or third person that's told me that recently in the event world, that women tend to cancel last minute. And that goes into a whole nother bag of issues, right? Is that I think because we're the primary caregivers for parents, for our kids, for, you know, so many people in our lives. So a lot comes on us that, you know, get in the way of these speaking engagements. So that's a whole nother battle that we can't solve, unfortunately. But we just have to I think what we have control over, because we can only control what we can control, is overcompensating and having more women scheduled. So if they back out, you're covered still.
Yeah. Now this whole conversation is going to make me really look at all of things differently. Like, I remember that post. I think I saw your comment, and I thought, wow. Yeah, I was a speaker.
Okay, what should I actually say in public, and what should I keep to myself or in DMs?
I know. I'm always doing that too. It's like, I'll say this on the post, but then I'm going to contact this person and, you know, we'll have a chat.
Exactly. But,
because it's tough to come up against these sorts of things and not be, you don't want to be confrontational, but just make people aware, you know, and that's really what would work.
Exactly. Because these are great shows and these are great podcasts, like the ones that gave me that aha moment of being pissed off are still shows I listen to this day. Like Dave Gerhart's show, amazing. Like Exit 5, love that show. There's a million. The B2B Growth Show, it was one man interviewing and now it's two men talking to each other. But I love them and I love the show. I still listen to them. So it's nothing against them. It's just there's more seats at the table and we need to get more women there.
Yeah. And so the same goes for speaking, it sounds like, because I'm not really in that world. Yeah. So that's, you've seen that too.
It's very parallel. Mm-hmm. And this comes up for me in mind here because everything content wise, a lot of it tends to start with events or with live content like this or live streaming and all kinds of some kind of virtual or in-person event is the core of a lot of content that's being created, at least in the B2B marketing space right now. So it brings me to that, which actually, I know we don't need to go down this women rabbit hole, which I can talk about all day, but it ends up, because that's the core of all content now, and we're saying that it skews male, does that mean the core of all content is going to skew male now?
Even, you know, copywriters, this I've noticed with copywriters, when you think about who are the, you know, famous copywriters, you know, the Eugene Schwartzes of the world and John Caples. I mean, when I ever mentioned, like, Joanna Weeb was my coach. She's in Canada, and she has a agency called Copy Hackers, and she's huge. Awesome. Like, in my world, she's like, you know, pay homage to her. She's just great, but you'd never hear her name. Once in a while, though, you do lately, you know, I'm seeing her name, but it's always the male copywriters that come up first. And when you think about all the quotes from copywriters, and I'm guilty of posting those myself, because usually really great quotes like Eugene Schwartz and, you know, copy isn't written, it's assembled, you know, quotes like that, but they're all male oriented. So
that's, you need to find those quotes by women and start putting that behind us and in our podcast.
Yeah. I'm just looking behind me now and seeing if I have anything that's, I have books behind me, and I think those, and I think we just need to have kind of a louder voice, but I don't know. It's not something
we can do, right? Is ourselves, if we start putting ourselves out there more, like you're saying, you're trying to get on more shows yourself as a guest, right? Mm-hmm. Good for you, because that's helping for the movement that we're defining. And it's getting you on stage, on mics and feeds. And that has another ripple effect, right? Of making it more accessible to other women. Like, oh, I saw Linda on the show. Maybe I should go on that show. That's great. She was awesome. I'm going to pick her brain about that. Maybe I should be on Linda's show. And it starts conversation. So, right, you can't be what you can't see. Is that the phrase? So if you see more women on mics and stages, you're more likely to go yourself.
And it's just funny, because I have had probably, you know, I've had more men on my show because they do pitch me. And it's a different vibe completely. Like, it's not as casual. Like, I'm much more relaxed talking to you than I've had other people on. I'm sweating. Like, and it's nothing wrong. But I'm I feel my armpits. I'm like, why am I sweating? It's cool in this room. But I get like really hyped up, even if I'm a guest. And I think part of it is also that I'm so intent on what I'm trying to say. And it's just a different vibe. You know?
Yeah. You probably feel like you have to prove yourself a little more, not to put words in your mouth, but like, I know I get that way sometimes.
Yeah. I think that's part of it. But it's funny, because I was talking to someone recently about how I belong to two different gyms, because one of them is super crowded. They're both big chain gyms. And one is so crowded during the week. I go in at 5:30 on Saturday and Sunday morning, because it's the only time I can actually get in. And the other one, I go in during the week. And he said, the person I was talking to, he's like, but there's a totally different vibe between those two chains. And I said, you're absolutely right. And I didn't really think about it until then. But it's sort of the same thing. And I was wondering, like, is it the people that are there? Yeah, because one is all like the ripped t-shirt sort of yelling and screaming. Yeah. And then the other one is more quiet, and people are, you know, just not really. He said they're more beginners. I don't know about that. I'm not a beginner. But it's just, you know, sometimes you don't want to be in that high intensity mode all the time. Because my husband teases me with the one gym. He's like, how many of the gym bunnies did you see at the? Because he said, you know what? I said, I'm one of them. So stop.
Yeah.
But there is a, there's a difference. And I think it's the same.
There is.
You know, different guests.
Agreed. And the vibe matters so much. You're right.
Yeah. Even on LinkedIn, like I did a poll a couple years ago. Why do you accept somebody's invite on LinkedIn? And one of the options was the person's vibe. And I think that got the majority, like just that they're in my, you know, in my profession, or they seem nice, or I forget what the options were. But the vibe, I did not expect that to be a thing. And a lot more people than I expected said, yeah, I have to get like a feeling from them.
Yeah. I love that. It's so true. I mean, so there's two things when someone sends me a connection request. And one is that they're not, unless I know them, there's not an AE or SDR title. Because then I just know as soon as I accept, you're going to pitch me something. And I'm not in market right now. But then the second thing is vibe for sure. Like the, I mean, not to say the picture, it's not really looks of the person, but the vibe that they give in their picture, it's kind of beyond that. And the headline, everything. Yeah, you're right. It's the whole vibe that comes across.
I'm not that careful. Like I just usually accept and then I get pitched like a million times.
Yeah.
What did I?
Yeah.
Somebody recently did that anymore. Since I accepted this person's invite, I don't know what happened. Their automation must have gotten messed up. And I got 10 of, I'm sitting there, hear my phone, ping, 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 ping. I mean, it's the same message. Oh, I see that you, and you could tell it was, in fact, it was a template that wasn't even filled in. It was like your name here. I'm like, okay.
No.
So I blocked them and I actually reported them because this is, it was happened 2 days in a row. I'm like, you know, I don't usually do this, but stop. So
yeah, what I'm seeing lately is a lot of people like I'll get somebody random who does not know me. They're just trying to sell me, but they'll like and comment on a ton of my posts or my comments, like 10 to 15 in a row. And then they'll send me a connection request.
Yeah.
And it's just the instant form. Like, I know you're trying to sell me something because that you used AI to comment on these. Like, none of it really made sense or added value. And you're, I don't know who you are, but you're an SDR at this company. Like, this is not getting my attention in a good way. It's just, it's giving me a million notifications that I don't really care about.
Did you post about that too? I think you did. Did you talk about that?
Somebody did. Somebody, I think Ashley Faust, who creates really great content on LinkedIn.
She's been on the show.
Oh, awesome. She's
amazing. It was quite a while ago. That is so funny. Well, do you have any, like, what advice would you have either for marketers or podcasters who want to attract more women to, you know, to be guests or to just, you know, in their space, a marketing space?
So my number one piece of advice, and then I'll explain why, is just to be, like we talked about, super aware of who is in your content, right? Who is creating your content? Who is a face of your content? Owned media is so big right now. I was just at Golden Hour by Audience Plus, a big event all about owned media and creating content, right? And owned media is big where you're creating a ton of basically different series, be it podcasts, video series, kind of Netflix style, and you're hosting it somewhere. And you're bringing people there to consume your content and binge your content, very similar to Netflix. But it's in the B2B marketing space in my world. But this can be applied to any industry, really. So creating that kind of content, just take a look at what you're creating. And hopefully even before you get to that point and you have visuals, your plan. Take a look at your plan and who's scheduled to be on these shows. Is it all men? Is it all white men? Is it all white men and white women? Like, be very aware of who you're having on your shows. But it's not, this isn't just for the movement, right? And to do good. That's, yes, that's part of it. But it also will help you as a brand because you're, if you only have a million white men on your shows and that's visual on your own media network, that's only going to attract mostly white men. And your audience is made up of a million types of people. So you want to make sure they see themselves in your content, and that'll draw, it'll just magnify your reach by just diversifying who's on your shows in every way. So put the time and effort.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it's not hard. I mean, you just, you have to do it, take a minute. And it's more interesting too. Like when I have different people on my show, it's interesting instead of hearing the same stuff. Not that everyone has the same opinion, but you know, there's definitely more interest in when you have diverse people on. So,
so true. You get so many new perspectives and experiences and what they've seen and their what their career path has looked like and their advice. Diverse people just give so many diverse perspectives. And I mean, this is key for HR too, right? Like when you're hiring on your team, you want all kinds of diversity and diverse ways of thinking. It helps everybody. It helps you ideate. So just doing that is, it will magnify the benefit of what you're doing and your content and your marketing for everybody in every way.
Absolutely. That's great. And where can people find you? Obviously, LinkedIn. Is there anywhere else? Your podcast?
Two ways. Yeah, LinkedIn. So LinkedIn, find me linkedin.com/JaneSarah. And then on, yeah, women in B2B marketing, which you can find on LinkedIn. You can find on my website directly, Spotify, Apple, everywhere.
So, and we'll put those links in the show notes. Well, thank you so much, Jane, for being here. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you, Linda. Likewise. Thanks for having me. Bye, everyone.
And that's a wrap for today's episode. We hope you found it informative, thought-provoking, and engaging. If so, please share it with your friends and colleagues who might also be interested in marketing and copywriting trends and innovations. And remember, if you haven't already, please subscribe to the B2B Marketing and Copywriting Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and on our YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. We'll be back next week with another show, so stay tuned.